Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading verse 39. And this is where we left off last week, and probably we've got another week of this same message, this same verse to be preached on. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Please help me to get my mind straight. Please help me to not be distracted, and please help me to feel better today. I'm congested and what have you. I need your strength. I need your power. But Father, please reach into the hearts of those listening. Give them understanding. Quicken their minds, quicken their hearts, encourage them in their spirit as they hear the gospel preached, which is what we're going to do today. Lord, give us understanding and wisdom that we might rightly divide the word of God, that we might understand it and faithfully take it apart verse by verse and try to understand it. As some have said, let us not do any violence to your word. And as John the Baptist said, Lord, help me to step out of the way. Help me to decrease. Help us all to decrease, so that Jesus Christ might increase. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we touched on Jesus Christ and showed how he was anointed by the Spirit of God, that the power of God rested upon him. And just thinking of that, I'm thinking back to a few years ago. Again, I mentioned this last time probably, when I was doing my study in Matthew, and one day we'll pick up wherever it was we left off. But I saw Jesus as I was studying and as I tried to preach. How that he, with compassion, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, what have you. Many will say that, well, you know, that was a long time ago. Many will say, well, this is the 20th century, 21st century, brother, you're behind the times. I mean, we don't believe that anymore. I mean, we've got doctors, and we've got this and that, and science, and there's just not a need. We can go to the doctor, we can pick up a phone, we can go to the drugstore and get a pill. And I'm thankful for pills. I'm grateful for doctors. But that does not diminish the power of God. And as we studied, again, several years ago, in those chapters in Matthew, you get a sense of awe and wonder at the person of Jesus Christ. And as I said last time, the word Christ is not a last name, it's a title. The Anointed One, the one that power from heaven came and rested upon him and remained. Jacob's ladder, if you will. If we are truly anointed, and that word is thrown around so much, if we're truly anointed, then we'll preach him. He's going to be our message. Not our church, not our doctrine, not our pet doctrine, not us, but Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself, but if we teach us, we may attract people to us. But it's quite possible, quite probable, The more we preach and lift up ourselves and glorify ourselves and magnify our church, our denomination, whatever, the people we attract will come to us and no further, and they'll miss heaven. We must preach Christ and not ourselves, as Paul said. But I want to say that the sons of Sceva, they had something right. In Acts chapter 19, there's a lot here. I love to study the Word of God. I have to sit and cut things out of my message, and I hate that. I mean, I need to get to the point. I understand. I need to get to the point. But in studying, I'm enthralled by the Word of God. I'm happy to see the Lord in the Scriptures. And it's hard for me to stop teaching verse by verse and just try to preach. It's hard. But it says, Acts chapter 19, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples," and we'll skip a few verses. And it says in verse 8, "And he went into the synagogue," Paul did, "and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." This was one of his missionary journeys. These 3 months were as a spearhead or a beachhead, perhaps. Once he had a beachhead, it says in verse 10, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia," that part of Turkey, Asia Minor, would have you, "they heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." We must preach the gospel. We must go, as it says, to the regions beyond you. Although the gospel is just about in every country, just about in every region of the world. But still, we must preach and teach the Word of God. Jesus is the answer. Pick your problem, doesn't matter. He's the answer. But how will they hear without a preacher? But it says in verse 11 and 12, as Paul was teaching and preaching these 2 years, "And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." If you look at Christ, everywhere he went, sometimes in the face of great opposition, but everywhere he went, as he preached, as he taught, what have you, he healed the sick, cast out devils, what have you. He performed many, many, many miracles. John said we could write to the end of time, I guess, writing books about what Jesus did, and we'd never be able to tell the whole story. There's just so much about Christ. And his followers, in this case, Paul, not one of the original apostles, one born out of time, he said, decades later. The same spirit that Jesus had, that the first apostles had, this man Paul, the apostle, had. Again, not to glorify himself, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God is never, ever, ever given to make us look good. It's to make Jesus Christ look good. You need to understand that. You need to understand that it's not about us. It's about him. But it says that as he taught, as he preached, what have you, if he had a handkerchief or whatever, and somebody said, "Hey, can you come to the next town? Somebody's sick." He stuck his hand in his pocket, got a Kleenex or whatever, and says, "Here, go take it to them." And it says that diseases departed from them. If they had diabetes or cancer or whatever, the people were healed. Not because Paul was special, and certainly not because these handkerchiefs were special. There's no power in a handkerchief. There's power in the Lord Jesus Christ. The faith wasn't in the handkerchief. The faith wasn't in Paul. But the message and the faith was in Jesus Christ and what he did on Mount Calvary. Today, as we all know, every flake on television sends out all these fundraisers. Best thing you can do with them is throw them away. But sometimes they'll send some little scrap of cloth and say this is a point of contact or whatever that is even supposed to mean. I don't even know. That if you take the cloth and do whatever the letter says and send in your money, then you'll receive your hundredfold blessing or whatever the case. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. It's not of God. You're wasting your time, your faith, if you do anything with the cloth other than use it to blow your own nose and throw it away, is misplaced, and your money is wasted. Because it draws attention to the so-called ministry and not Jesus Christ. What happened in the Bible once or twice is a gimmick these days, and it's just not right. But it says in verse 13, again, Acts chapter 19, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them or upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you, or we command you, or whatever, by Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, the chief of the priests. And the demon spirit said, Jesus I know. I even know Paul. But who are you? And that demon spirit working through that man that was possessed beat the snot out of him. And it says that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Tore half their clothes off, beat them up. Looked like Harry Reid, maybe, I suppose. And it says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. This is strange. These are unbelieving Jews. And from the word vagabond, you might infer, perhaps, that they were persecuting Christians. Perhaps. Not sure. But at any rate, they were not Christians, but they saw the power of God. They saw something that they knew had more power than them. They were exorcists themselves. But they saw Paul. As he preached Jesus Christ, the power of God rested upon him. And diseases were healed. Demon spirits went out. I don't know if he raised the dead in this town. I have no idea. But they saw the power of God. And they said, hey, let's try it too. Now, they were not born again. They couldn't avail themselves of the benefits that we have as Christians. They had no legal right before God. They were not justified before God because they didn't believe in Christ. Therefore, they had no access or could not rightfully use the name of Jesus to perform any miracles. And that devil knew it. You say, well, I don't believe in demon spirits, and well, that's just something in the Bible, and when you've got all these excuses as to why you don't want to believe in demon spirits, okay, fine. I would say that all you have to do is turn on the news, and you see evidence of demonic activity in this country, in the political realm, the riots and what have you. You look at the various dictators down in Africa. You look at ISIS. Chopping off heads down there. If that ain't the devil, I don't know what is. Sorry. But these seven sons of Sceva. These boys heard the gospel. They saw something. And they knew that it was Jesus' power that delivered the oppressed. When they said, "We command you," or "We adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." There's power in the gospel. Or there should be power in the gospel. And if you read the Bible, there was power in the gospel. Acts chapter 3, a familiar story. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. We know this story. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was asking alms. He says, "Hey, man, I ain't got no legs, can't walk. Why don't you throw me a nickel, bro?" And that's how he made his living. Okay, fine, that's how he made his living. But you think of it, he lived however long it was. If he was 30 years old and he'd been 30 years unable to walk, what a pitiful existence. And he said, "Ain't seen them guys before. Fresh meat." He stuck out his hand and says, "Hey, give." And they said, "Hey, we ain't got no money. But we've got something that you need." Grabbed his hand and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Not in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention or the Assemblies of God. Not in the name of the Pope. Not in the name of any of that. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And they pulled his hand and God performed a miracle. And his feet and ankle bones. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was healed. He was healed. Hallelujah. He was healed. And it says he leapt up and walked and entered into the temple, verse 8, walking and leaping and praising God. I used to sing a song a long time ago. Don't quite remember how it went, but it was walking and leaping and praising God, or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it went. This man was healed by the power of God. This man did not walk and leap and praise a denomination. You hear me? It's not about you. It's not about your church. It's not about me. Not about my church. Who cares about my or your denomination? Forget it. Let's preach Jesus Christ. Let's get our message right. But it says in verse 16, again, Acts chapter 3, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." One of the things that Jesus preached, he picked up Isaiah in Luke chapter 4 and said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance is hardly preached anymore these days. But we've got drug addiction. We've got lust. We've got porn. People are addicted to that stuff. We've got cigarettes. We've got soap operas. We've got poverty. We've got so many problems, but Jesus Christ can deliver if you will but hear and put your trust in him. He will change your life. He set me free from dope immediately when I got saved. He can set you free. He can help you through any problem that you have if you'll but follow him. Study the Word of God. Attend church, a good church, hopefully. Try to learn about him. Try to live for him. Allow him to change your life on the inside, and he'll change your life on the outside as well. But biblical Christianity, and if you want to look at the Old Testament, the same is true. Biblical Christianity, not denominational Christianity, not what we have today or the programs or methods that we have today. None of that stuff matters. But biblical Christianity is marked as having the power of God. He said, if we lift him up, he'll draw all men unto himself. And it doesn't matter that we have science. It doesn't matter that we know better today. It doesn't matter that evolution. It doesn't matter that, well, you know, we're sophisticated and we don't believe that Bible stuff. It doesn't matter. If we'll believe that Bible stuff, Hebrews says Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. You know, if healing passed away, then please explain to me the last chapter or two in Revelation. It says that there are trees growing on each side of that river, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. He is the Lord that healeth thee. He can help you. Again, it's not to draw attention to man. It's not about that. It's to draw attention to Jesus Christ and that people would follow him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He did not confess, I'm the head and not the tail. Paul said God reserved the apostles last as an offscouring. He was beaten more times than you'd care to read about. Shipwrecked, got sick. Remember the snake that bit him? That snake came out the fire. Mocked everywhere he went. But I'm the head and not the tail, brother. No, you're not. No, you're not. He's the head. Behold him. David said, I'm a worm, O Lord, and not a man. Another place it says that we're not worthy of the least of God's mercies. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I don't dig around in some obscure part of Leviticus, perhaps, or in some of the Jewish writings, the Talmud or whatever, to try and find something to impress you, to show you how good I have studied or how educated I am or how smart I am. He said, no, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Preaching in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. That's our text. But Paul, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Did not preach tongues. Tongues was something that he practiced. And he had to write to the Corinthian church and says, hey, y'all need to kind of let off on that a little bit. It's not about tongues. But healing, yeah. Paul did heal the sick. But the thing that Paul prayed for, remember in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 6, he lists the weapons. He goes through the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and all of that stuff. But if you read a couple of verses down his prayer, he said, brothers, pray that I can preach. Pray that I can teach the word of God, that I can reach someone with the gospel. That's what we need. And that's what the Pentecostal message is supposed to be about. Not about tongues. Yeah, we believe in healing. That's good. It's not about tongues. but it's about preaching and teaching the Word of God with conviction. Not that we stand up and we're so full of conviction we know what we're talking about. No. We need to know what we're talking about if we stand behind this sacred desk. But we need conviction in the heart. We need for the power of God to touch the heart. Somebody that's on crack and hears that Jesus can set him free, God needs to touch his heart. God needs to grip his heart so that he can reach out in faith and be saved and also delivered. Preaching and conviction. That's what we need. Not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and of power. Because I can't convince anyone to be a Christian. I've talked to people, I've counseled with people, I've done whatever, I've tried to explain, maybe in person or on the internet, what have you, tried to give a defense of what we believe. But it's God that touches the heart. It's God that touches the heart. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.